Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 30, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
I see nobody got frostbite. That's great. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. We are in verse 14, studying one of the most important doctrines of God's word, the doctrine of the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives us the privacy of the priesthood, gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, what we are doing tonight is the most important thing that we do or you will ever do in your life. I was watching the championship in golf, the FedEx championship, final round. The winner was a Norwegian. Hoo-ah! Yeah, I just can't keep those Norwegians down, you know. And they're having the World Track Championships. And the winner of the high hurdles was a Norwegian. Woo! And also in the World Track Championships, the 5,000 meters was won by a Norwegian. Woo! You just can't keep those Norskies down, you know. But as I was watching that FedEx championship, Deb, I had no idea. She says, you know how much Victor Hovland is going to get for winning this? I said, no. $18 million. You can buy a lot of Chick-fil-A with $18 million. But as I talked to Deb and I talked about it, I said, you know, the most important thing, I hope that this young man has placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. What difference does it make if you get everything in the world and lose your own soul? Look at all of the people in the world who have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Some of them have lots and lots of money. $18 million. And yet the Word of God says that the treasures of Bible doctrine is greater than all the gold, all the silver that there is in the whole world. What you have in your laps, the Word of God, is the greatest treasure of all. And to get that treasure into your heart, why then, you have the best. That is what. When you have that, you have everything. So what we do tonight and what we do on Thursday night and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and twice on Sunday, and feeding on the God-breathed scriptures, coming with positive volition and humility, learning it, believing it, getting it in our heart, that's priceless. That's priceless. And we are studying this great doctrine on resurrection. Verse 14 says, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us together with you, you believers in Corinth. Well, at this point, we began studying the doctrine of the resurrection. We have gotten to point 8. And 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58 is one of two major passages on the resurrection of the royal family of God, the rapture. The other one's 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. That's the other major passage. But this one, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58, is one of the central passages on the resurrection of the royal family of God, church age saints, which is the rapture. And the last verse, verse 58, Paul gives a great challenge. Okay, he says, I've taught this phenomenal doctrine, the doctrine of the resurrection of the church, the rapture. Now, this is a great challenge. Your challenge, a challenge to each one of us. In application of the doctrine of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, stand firm, be steadfast, let nothing move you. That is, don't let anything distract you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Now we have studied the first 8 subpoints of point 8. First of all, 1, we noted that the phrase stand firm, be steadfast, is the Greek verb genomai with the adjective hedraios. 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 And Hedraios comes from the verb hedrazo, which means to establish, to fix, to settle. It also comes from the noun hedrioma, which means foundation. Therefore, two, hedraios means firm or steadfast. Three, Paul is challenging the believers in Corinth, and at the very same time, he's challenging each one of us to be steadfast, stabilized. Use your volition to make good decisions. Use your volition to live the spiritual life God has for us by the spiritual skills and glorify God while you are here. That's why we're here. We are here to glorify God. Subpoint four, you can only glorify God by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Subpoint five, when you do this, you are in a stabilized, steadfast condition. Subpoint six. And then he adds the phrase, let nothing move you nor distract you. And that phrase more clearly defines what it means to be steadfast and stabilized. What being steadfast and stabilized means is let nothing move you, let nothing distract you. Subpoint seven. Distractions are anything you put before God and His Word. Subpoint 8. Then the phrase, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And that phrase means attain spiritual maturity, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and fulfill your two royal commissions that have been given to us in the church age. Fulfill your royal priesthood, representing yourself before God. And you're doing that tonight. That's what you're doing every time you assemble to worship the Lord. Fulfilling your royal priesthood. And when you fulfill your royal priesthood and advance to maturity, that then you will fulfill your second royal commission, your royal ambassadorship. As you fulfill your royal priesthood, you will develop the great motivational virtues, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have those great motivational virtues, that will motivate you to fulfill your royal ambassadorship, the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. And specifically in that royal ambassadorship, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Now that brings us to subpoint 9, where we start this evening. This means you have, at that point, you will have great impact, great personal impact, great national impact, great international impact, and great angelic impact. When you fulfill your two royal commissions, your royal priesthood, developing the motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, which motivates you to fulfill your functional virtue, your royal ambassadorship of impersonal love for all, that's when you have great impact, personal impact, national impact, international impact, and angelic impact. Subpoint 10. The phrase, your labor for the Lord is not in vain. That means, first of all, your daily good decisions you make to live the spiritual life are not in vain. Your daily good decisions you make to live the spiritual life are not in vain. Secondly, it means your evaluation of what is truly important, God and His Word, is not in vain. Your evaluation of what is truly important, God and His Word, is not in vain. It means three, the divine viewpoint thinking that Bible doctrine is more important than the air that you breathe is not in vain. The divine viewpoint thinking that Bible doctrine is more important than the air that you breathe is not in vain. Four, the consistent and faithful assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and metabolizing doctrine, fulfilling your royal priesthood, is not in vain. The consistent and faithful assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and metabolizing doctrine, fulfilling your royal priesthood, is not in vain. Five, you're attaining spiritual maturity, which results in maximum divine good production. Maximum divine good production in your life. And what is that maximum divine good production in your life? Well, it's primarily fulfilling your royal ambassadorship, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We are all, every one of you, you have a special ministry. As a royal ambassador, you have the ministry of reconciliation. That is presenting Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. All of you are in full-time Christian service. Every one of you are in full-time Christian service. So your attaining spiritual maturity results in maximum divine good production, including fulfilling your royal ambassadorship, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Now we're in 2 Corinthians 4, but I'm already in 2 Corinthians 5, so turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. In fact, I was working on these verses 18 to 20, today. Second Corinthians 5, verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and He gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. You, God gave you a ministry. You're in full-time Christian service. The ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ isn't on the earth. He's at the right hand of God the Father. While the head, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of the Father, the body of Christ is still here on earth. We are His royal ambassadors and represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Each one of you. The mandate has been given to all of us. We've been given these two royal commissions. And the mandate is to fulfill your royal priesthood, your royal ambassadorship, personal evangelism. As you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, God will open the door. He will open the door for you everywhere you go, whatever you're doing. And you, as being in spiritual adulthood, you will be aware of it and you will know it. You will know as soon as God opens that door, because you have personal love for God the Father. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. He is the most important person in your life. And you understand that you are a royal ambassador and you are in full-time Christian service. And so you are aware, when God opens that door, the light will go on. And you know He gave you this opportunity to fulfill your royal ambassadorship with the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel, and present it. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Subpoint 11. Loser believers live empty lives. Loser believers live empty lives. While winner believers' lives are not in vain. Loser believers live empty lives. Empty. They don't mean a damn thing. It's like going to the cupboard and there's nothing there. While winner believers' lives are not in vain. So this great central passage on the doctrine of resurrection for the royal family of God, the rapture of the church, and this great passage, 1 Corinthians 15:51-58, ends with this challenge for each one of us in verse 58. Now that brings us to point 9. Point 9, the resurrection and the omnipotence of God. The resurrection and the omnipotence of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, and by the way, those are the great eyes that you have. The greatest eyes you have are the eyes in your heart. Not your physical eyes, although when I mentioned about me having cataracts and then I started taking this supplement, the entire congregation wanted to know what that was that I was taking. I started taking it, and the cataracts have all gone, and I can see the target when I'm practicing shooting. I can see the elk out there. It's hard to miss an elk; they're pretty big. You're not going elk hunting; you're going deer hunting. How are your eyes? Everybody, that's fine. And I hope the stuff worked for you like it did for me. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, His omnipotence, the omnipotence of God the Father, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Turn over to Acts 2. Acts 2. Acts 2, starting at verse 29. Brethren, royal family of God, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Messiah. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Turn over to Romans 6. Romans 6, 3 and 4, which we have studied on Sunday morning in the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit. Romans 6, 3, or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death, retroactive positional truth. And therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of God the Father, so also we, royal family, might live in newness of life. And then turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13. Second Corinthians 13, verse 4. For to be sure, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified in weakness, yet he lives, the resurrection, by God's power, the omnipotence of both the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, turn over to Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. And we're going to take this verse and we're going to break this down. Take a look at it. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Three things here that the Apostle Paul wants to know. So, one, in Philippians 3:10, the phrase, that I may know him, that I may know Christ, means Paul wants to achieve the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and that is having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, with emphasis on occupation with Jesus Christ, that I may know Him, Christ. Paul wants to achieve the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, emphasizing occupation with Jesus Christ. Secondly, the phrase, and know the power of His resurrection. Know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that means knowing and understanding the divine power as the mechanics for living the unique spiritual life of the church age. And know the power of His resurrection. Because the same power that resurrected Christ is the power given to us to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So to know the power of His resurrection, that same power is the power for us to live the spiritual life of the church age. So knowing the power of His resurrection means knowing and understanding the divine power as the mechanic for living the spiritual life. Three. The phrase, and know the fellowship of His sufferings. And know the fellowship of His sufferings means knowing and understanding God's problem-solving devices, the precisely correct procedure for clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Only winner believers know the fellowship of His suffering. Only believers who attain spiritual adulthood are blessed with this fantastic category of greater grace blessing. One of the most unique categories of greater grace blessing is suffering for blessing. It only comes to the spiritually adult believer, not the baby believer, not the adolescent believer, not the reversionistic believer, not the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. They will never know it. They will never know. This is one of the great, greater grace blessing for the winner believer. So three, the phrase, and to know the fellowship of His suffering. The only suffering that Christ received was suffering for blessing. And that means knowing and understanding God's problem-solving devices, which are the precisely correct procedure for clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Subpoint four. The spiritual life of the church age. It's that cheap booze you got there. That'll do it all the time. You're drinking the same stuff that Vanslo drinks over here. You gotta stay away from chickens when you eat the feathers, you know. The spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural life that demands supernatural power for its execution. And what is that power? The same divine power of the resurrection. The spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural life. You can't live it by your own abilities and talents. The spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural life that demands supernatural power for its execution. That is the very same divine power of the resurrection. Subpoint five. The same divine power becomes the mechanics for the two great events of history. The same divine power becomes the mechanics for the two great events of history. First, living the unique spiritual life of the church age. And two, the resurrection, the rapture of the royal family of God, the church. The same divine power becomes the mechanics for the two great events of history, living the unique spiritual life of the church age and the resurrection of the royal family of God, the rapture. Subpoint 6. The omnipotence of God the Father, God the Lord, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit is available to all members of the royal family of God. The omnipotence of God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit is available to all members of the royal family of God. In the church age, this is absolutely unique, never occurred in any other time in human history, but it's available to you. It's available to all of you. The omnipotence of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is available to all members of the royal family of God. First of all, the omnipotence of God the Father. The omnipotence of God the Father is available to you, related to your portfolio of invisible assets. The omnipotence of God the Father is available to you related to your portfolio of invisible assets. And what a portfolio that is. It's made up of primary assets, that is, election and predestination. Primary assets. Assets, election to privilege and predestination. Secondary assets. And the secondary assets include volitional assets, positive volition to live the spiritual life, production assets, maximum divine good production that glorifies God, suffering for blessing assets, invisible impact assets, such as personal impact, historical impact, international impact, angelic impact. All of those are part of the secondary assets. And then personnel assets. We have all been given at least one spiritual gift. You all have at least one. You might have two or three spiritual gifts. But these are the personnel assets. We have all been given a spiritual gift that operates when you are living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. Then these fantastic spiritual gifts operate. And then unique assets. The unique assets include we are indwelt, every one of us indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The unique assets include the 10 unique characteristics of the church age. All of these, this makes up our portfolio of invisible assets. So the omnipotence of God the Father is available to you related to your portfolio of invisible assets. Secondly, the omnipotence of Jesus Christ is available to you. For the Lord Jesus Christ not only holds the universe together, but at the same time perpetuates human history one day at a time, so you can live one day at a time and fulfill the plan of God for your life. And then the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit is available to you as the power to live your unique spiritual life of the church age. So, the omnipotence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is available to all members of the royal family of God. Subpoint 7. Never before in human history has so much divine power been available to so many believers for the glorification of God. Never before in human history has so much divine power been available to so many believers for the glorification of God. You, every one of you, you have available to you the greatest power ever. The greatest power ever. Subpoint 8. The omnipotence that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise you as believers at the rapture of the church. The omnipotence of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise you as believers at the rapture of the church. It was both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit that was involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, the omnipotence of God the Father will provide the resurrection body for all the dead in Christ. And the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit will provide a resurrection body for all who are living, the rapture generation, who are living on the earth at the time of the rapture. Subpoint 9. Now, God has given this to us. And yet, most Christians today in the church age are not using this divine power. So, subpoint 9. If we are going to use this power, then you have to know, first of all, that it exists. Well, now you know. You learned it from the teaching of the Word of God. Unfortunately, there are not that many churches where the pastor is prepared to teach sound doctrinal truth, and most believers don't even know that this exists. You have to know it exists. You have to know it's available. And you have to know the mechanics of using it. Subpoint 10. The same power, the omnipotence of God the Father and the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power by which the church age believer lives the unique spiritual life and glorifies God. The same power, the omnipotence of the Father and the omnipotence of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is the same power by which the church age believer lives the unique spiritual life and glorifies God. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance, and that inheritance includes the resurrection body, which is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are guarded by the power of God through faith, for a deliverance ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various categories of suffering, suffering for blessing. that the proof of your faith, the metabolized doctrine in your heart, being much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise, the honor, and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. Occupation with Christ. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, one, an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, including the resurrection body, is an inheritance based on divine power. An inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, including our resurrection body, is an inheritance based on God's power. Two, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that provides eternal security for every believer. Winners or losers makes no difference. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that provides eternal security for every believer. Three, the deliverance refers to the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God, accomplished by the power of God the Father. The dead in Christ receive the resurrection body from him, and the power of God the Holy Spirit. Those living at the time of the rapture receive their resurrection body from him. So the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power by which church-age believers have eternal security and have the means of living the unique spiritual life. Four, this passage explains the death of the believer in terms of God's grace and the future of the believer in terms of resurrection. This passage explains the death of the believer in terms of God's grace and the future of the believer in terms of resurrection. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 4. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, God the Holy Spirit, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of him, God the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, he is, universal indwelling of the Spirit, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who lives in you. Point 10, resurrection is a part of the gospel. Resurrection is a part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Resurrection is a part of the gospel. First Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, brethren, royal family of God, I want to remind you of the gospel that I proclaimed to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I proclaimed to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Point 11. The importance of resurrection related to faith in Jesus Christ. The importance of resurrection related to faith in Christ. First Corinthians 15, starting at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. And the Lord, there was a large group of religious leaders in Israel who did not believe the doctrine of the resurrection. And so the Apostle Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. But if it is proclaimed that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been resurrected, our teaching is useless, and so is your faith useless. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses. We are false teachers about God, for we have testified about God that He resurrected Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile, vain, empty, worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, believers who have died in Christ, they're lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all men. Point 11, the importance of resurrection related to faith in Christ. Point 12. Resurrection emphasizes the difference between a theophany and a Christophany. Resurrection emphasizes the difference between a theophany and a Christophany. What is a theophany? A theophany is an appearance of Christ prior to the first advent. An appearance of Christ prior to the first advent, prior to the incarnation and virgin birth. And that theophany can be an animate person or an inanimate thing, like the burning bush. That's a theophany. The appearance of Christ prior to the incarnation and virgin birth. A Christophany is an appearance of Christ after the incarnation and virgin birth, and after his bodily resurrection. A Christophany is an appearance of Christ after his bodily resurrection. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Also, 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 3. Verses 3 through 8. Again, for what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared. He appeared to Peter. This is after his resurrection. He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brethren at one time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So a Christophany is an appearance of Christ after his bodily resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. So resurrection emphasizes the difference between theophany and Christophany. Point 13. The resurrection of Christ indicates the completion of the ministry of justification. The resurrection of Christ indicates the completion of the ministry of justification. Turn over to Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered up because of our transgressions, our sins, and was raised, resurrected, for the sake of our justification. For the sake of our justification. Now this is a very, very important verse. And I want to go into this verse in detail. We're going to have to wait till next time. Romans 4:25 is a very important verse, but you have to know exactly what it's saying from the exegesis of the Greek, and then we'll pull this all together. The resurrection of Christ indicates the completion of the ministry of justification. All right? Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.